Today we're going to begin a series in the book of Ephesians, a beautiful book in the New Testament, a letter of Paul, and one which is a favorite of mine. Now I want to, first of all, give just a little background about the book. As we think of the book of Ephesians, we realize that Paul is the author. He begins by introducing himself this way. He says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus through the will of God. The place of writing was Rome. As you come to the last of Acts, Acts 28, verses 30 and 31, we read that Paul was in Rome, that he was waiting trial, and that he spent 2 years there as a house prisoner waiting trial. The date was probably around 61 A.D. And Paul now is a mature man. He's a man in his early 60s. He's known the Lord for perhaps 30 years, close to 30 years. He's been a preacher, a teacher of the Word of God. And this book, the book of Ephesians, is one that gives us some very mature, beautiful Christian teaching. Let me give you just a little outline of the book, first of all, and then we're going to go into it in more detail. The book begins with a salutation, the first two verses. And then the first three chapters give us the church in its relationship to Christ and to God the Father and the Holy Spirit. I call this the church in Christ, our spiritual relationship to God. The last three chapters deal with the church, those who are believers, in their relationships between others. And I call this the church in society. The relationship between Christians in a fellowship, the relationship between Christians and those who are not believers, husband and wife relationships, labor relationships, and so forth. The church in society, chapters 4 through 6. Now, the first section after the salutation, we entitle The Plan for the Church. This is verses 3 to 14, where Paul is describing here what God's plan is for the church, for believers. What is his goal? What is his destination? And Paul says the destination is that those who trust the Lord Jesus should be sons through Jesus Christ, sons of God. And then the last part of the chapter, we have Paul's prayer for the church. And his prayer is that we might appreciate Christ's greatness. Now we're going to look at this first section more in detail. And we'll look first of all at the salutation. And let me read, and I'm going to read from the American Standard Version. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. He predestined us unto adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. He made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things upon earth. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his working, who works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, having heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory. Now let's look at that introduction first of all, the first two verses. Paul says some things about himself. He describes himself as an apostle of Christ. In other words, a missionary, one who has been called by God and then sent out by him. Remember, Jesus chose 12 apostles that they might be with him and that he might send them forth to preach. And Paul is one of those now who is very firmly convinced God has chosen him. Christ has called him to this work, he says, through the will of God. I would to God that everyone who is preaching the word and teaching the word were convinced of God's call. This is not just a profession that someone chooses for himself. It's not something that he just decides it might be a nice thing to be a preacher or a teacher of the Bible. But here, if he has the call of God, even as Paul did, it's because of this deep, firm conviction that God has given him this work to do, and he can do nothing else but obey. And Paul was firmly convinced of this. If you read in Galatians 1, he speaks of how he was convinced that from birth, that God had called him and God had this work for him to do. Now he writes to the Christians in Ephesus, and he describes them as saints. And the word saint means simply someone who is set apart for God for service for him. We get our word, of course, sanctify from this. The same root idea. These are people now who once served the devil, who once were far from God. Now they have been saved. They are set apart for God. They belong to God. This is their relationship to him in this world of sin. No longer do they belong to Satan. No longer are they serving him. They belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul here can write to these. This is their spiritual location. They belong to Christ. They are saints. They are set apart for God. Their physical location, he says, is at Ephesus. And they're faithful in Christ Jesus. Are full of faith. They're believing. Their lives are those that reveal their faith. They're consistent with their witness as belonging to the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And perhaps you've heard it said, and it surely is true, that the only way we'll ever have peace is to first come to know the grace of God. Grace, the unmerited favor, the love, the compassion, that gave the Lord Jesus for us so that our sins could be forgiven. It's only because of him. As Scripture says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so peace necessarily follows the grace of God. If you don't have peace today, if you have to say, I really don't have peace in my life, I'd like to suggest that it's very possibly because you do not know and appreciate the grace of God. Now, as he gets into the first section here of the epistle, the plan for the church, he praises God. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is filled with praise to God because of this tremendous salvation that he has provided us with. Notice what he says about this salvation. He says it's in Christ. The only way you come to know this blessing is by becoming a believer in the Lord Jesus, by being linked with him, not with the church, not with any organization, but a living relationship with the Lord Jesus, who loved us and gave himself for us. But if we have accepted him And if we are believers, and if we are, as the Scripture says, in Christ, why, then we can say that then we are blessed with every spiritual blessing. Isn't that tremendous? We're rich. We are enriched with all of these spiritual blessings. All the resources of heaven are at the disposal of the believer. God be for us, who can be against us? And here God is for us with all that he possesses. Now this is tremendous to know. Many times Christians don't appreciate what they have in the Lord Jesus. There isn't this joy, there isn't this confidence, there isn't this assurance. There are some who've trusted the Lord Jesus who are uncertain of their salvation. There are some who've trusted the Lord Jesus who are uncertain whether or not the Holy Spirit is indwelling them. They're marked by fears and anxieties. And here, the Scripture would point out to us, listen, you are blessed, you are rich with every spiritual blessing. I heard some time ago of a woman who died in a city, a large city, and she lived in a very poor apartment. When they discovered she was dead and they broke into the apartment, they found she was living in abject poverty. She'd been eating the poorest kind of food. The apartment wasn't heated properly. She didn't have decent clothes. She was living at a poverty level. But they also discovered that she had bank accounts. She had various passbooks and so forth. She had bank accounts with hundreds of thousands of dollars. And she had cash hidden away in various places in the apartment. And yet she was living a miserly existence, although she was actually rich. And some of us, as Christians, may be living that kind of life. May the Lord help us to see how rich really we are. And this is what Paul is excited about. In the Lord Jesus, we have all these resources. What is God's desire for us? We are chosen, he says, in him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blemish. Now, this is his goal for us. He wants us, ultimately, we're going to be holy and without blemish. This is a plan that he has for us as Christians. Isn't that grand? Don't you get tired of sin sometimes? The sin you see around you, the sin in the world. Here the promise of God's word is, one day we're going to be holy and without blemish. I wonder if you're a Christian this morning. I wonder if you know your sins are forgiven. I wonder if you've been blessed with all these spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. I hope so.